Chapter 8. Bob Hyland, KMOX and Talk Radio. In the spring of 1960, there were a couple of baseball broadcasting jobs open, one in Detroit and the other in Baltimore. Before I even applied for the jobs, Bob Hyland talked me into staying in St. Louis and going to work full-time for KMOX. He knew baseball was my first love, and told me he was certain things would work out. He also indicated that if I took one of the out-of-town jobs, it would be the start of a ride on a merry-go-round a lot of announcers take. They hop on one place, work a couple of years, then hop off and take another job, stay a couple of years, and keep moving. Hyland convinced me that he was right. I'd like St. Louis. It was a good place to raise my family. And I liked the idea of having a base at KMOX. I had done broadcasts other than baseball, including basketball, football, bowling, and wrestling. Hyland told me there would be other opportunities that he would help send my way. The other help I received was from Al Fleischman, who through the Fleischman-Hillard Public Relations Agency had contacts with businessmen and civic organizations. He helped arrange speaking engagements for me. You talk about work. One year, I made 385 appearances. Think about that. 385 engagements. Every time more than 10 people sat down to eat, I was there talking to them. I spoke to the optimists, the pessimists, the optometrists, lions, church groups, boys' clubs, everybody. Looking back, I think that was a big help in developing a relationship with the folks in St. Louis. I didn't get rich making those appearances. Some of them paid $10, others $25, or even $50 if it was a big event. I needed the money, and I appreciated every dollar. Hyland was a big baseball fan. His father, Robert F. Hyland, had turned down a chance to play in the minor leagues and subsequently became a doctor and came to be known as the Surgeon General of Baseball. He helped prolong a lot of baseball careers. Young Bob was a good college player at St. Louis University and once hit a grand slam just as his father walked into the park. I think that was one of the proudest moments of Bob's life. Hyland made certain I earned my money at KMOX. I did a record and interview show from Stan Musial and Biggie's restaurant 5 nights a week, in addition to other broadcasts. Hyland's work hours were legendary, around 80 hours per week, and I think part of the reason he went to work in the middle of the night was to conjure up things for me to do. Work was his passion. He was in the office by 2:30 a.m., took less than an hour for lunch, worked until 6 p.m., went home, had dinner, and was in bed by 9. He went to Mass every day at 6 a.m. at the old cathedral across the street from the radio station, and he was always in charge of or attending a meeting for one civic group or another. He did more than just direct KMOX, although his goal of making it the number one radio station in the country was always his first priority. Among his hundreds of accomplishments was his leadership in building St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Louis, where the rehab center is named after him. He was persuasive enough to get Sid Solomon, the former owner of the St. Louis Blues, to underwrite the building of the chapel at the Catholic Hospital. And Solomon was Jewish. Now that's salesmanship. If I had a meeting with Hyland at 9 o'clock in the morning, he had already been at work for 6 hours. I would come in his office, scratching and yawning, and say, "Okay, whatever you want me to do." I said yes to everything he asked me to do because I was still asleep. There weren't many moments when Hyland wasn't listening to KMOX. I joked about the fact that he had an implant in his head, and when his eyes opened, the radio went on. Actually, he did have a telephone hotline to the studio from his home. And if the red light lit on that phone, you knew it was the chief, as he was called. He ran every department at KMOX. Bob and I became close friends. More than once, he called me up to say that William Paley, the head of CBS, had asked him to become president of CBS Radio and move to New York. He coveted the job, but never took it. It would have meant leaving St. Louis and his first love, KMOX Radio. Since the 1960s, KMOX has frequently been the number one station in the country with the highest share of audience, number one in revenue and profit. The radio station made more money than KMOX TV. That was unheard of, a radio station making more money than a television station. KMOX dominated the St. Louis scene, and it was fun to be a part of. Hyland spent a lot of CBS money, but that was his way of making money. He had people on his payroll solely to keep them from working for another station. When he wanted them on the air, they were available. KMOX made so much money that no one at the network level ever interfered with Hyland. He operated autonomously, with the blessing of Bill Paley. After I had been at the station for 25 years, I thought if I took my money out of the CBS pension plan and invested it elsewhere, it would grow at a faster rate. I checked to see what was in my pension account. Announcers at the station were paid in a certain way. If you earned $500 a week, $400 of that would be considered a talent fee, and the other $100 was the base employee rate. What I learned was that I was only being vested for a small percentage of my income. After working at the station for all those years, making pretty good money, I had virtually nothing in my pension account. I walked into Hyland's office and called him every name in the book. He was shocked. "You've been screwing me for 25 years," I told him. He said I didn't know what I was talking about, but he knew everything that went on at the station. "I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm out of here," I said. He said, "Wait." We worked it out, and he increased my pension. But even then, I had to work 3 more years to become vested at the new rate. The most important contribution Hyland made to KMOX and the broadcasting industry was starting At Your Service, which was the beginning of talk radio and talk television in this country. Hyland decided to pitch the music programs and start doing interview and information shows. This changed the entire industry. It was revolutionary. Hyland asked my opinion of what he had already decided to do, and I told him he was nuts. "I don't think the audience is capable or interested in participating in talk radio." But Hyland said it was a go, and it would be my job to host 2 hours of the programming every weekday afternoon. To be certain he wouldn't go back on his decision, Hyland gave the entire music library at KMOX to a veterans hospital. He didn't want to have an alternative. He was convinced it would work. The station was owned and operated by CBS. So Hyland had to get permission from William Paley to make the format switch. I don't know if Paley thought it would work, but he trusted Hyland's opinion, and we started talk radio. Roy McCarthy was an announcer at the station. He had done some talk radio on a very small station, but we were the first major broadcast entity to commit to the new genre. The program started off rather mildly. There were times when people working at the station had to place calls and ask questions on the air to make it seem like listeners were calling. We had some shows that struggled. When we had an occasion to have an African American as the guest, we received nasty calls saying, "Get that nigger off the air." The tone of those calls was very harsh and bitter. I observed considerable change over the years, with callers showing more respect for the guests. Ultimately, it didn't matter what race or sex a guest was. Our guests were experts, and people listened and reacted. The most popular shows were Ask the Veterinarian, Ask the Gardener, Ask the Doctor, or Ask the Lawyer. The phones blew up. It was sensational. Hyland was right. We learned quickly what sort of shows the audience would respond to, and which ones brought less reaction.